I'd like to welcome everyone out to the service this evening and to welcome back as our preacher this evening, Mr. Stephen Crawford. Stephen is a licentiate minister. This Thursday night at 8 p.m. is the midweek meeting, and this week it's a deputation meeting for Mr. Glenn Hamilton. Now, I've been reading out this announcement maybe for a couple of weeks, saying that he's a missionary going to Uganda. Well, I think maybe he's a missionary going to Kenya, but all the same, we'll hopefully give him support on Thursday night, for an offering will be lifted for him at that meeting. Next Lord's Day, the services at the usual times of 11:30 and 7, and the preacher will be the Reverend Marcus Leckie. And next Lord's Day, the ministerial election straw poll return should be brought in. If you can't come next Lord's Day, if you give that poll sheet and seal the envelope to a member of session before next Sunday. Next weekend is the Easter Convention and Marriage Memorial on Friday night at 8 p.m. The speaker is the Reverend Timothy Nelson. On Saturday at 7:30 p.m. is the missionary rally, and the speaker is Dr. John McKnight. And on Monday at 7 p.m. the speaker is again Dr. John McKnight. Next Lord's Day, Cookstown Free Presbyterian Church have an after-church youth rally at 8:45 p.m. And the speaker of that is the Reverend Paul Thompson. And as I mentioned this morning, there's a sheet on the hall table. If anyone can go along to Let the Bible Speak TV recording on the 10th of April, they're looking help to make up a congregation. They're doing additional recordings, and this is sort of a short notice thing that they've brought in. They usually last from 7 p.m. to 9:45, and if you can help with that, if you put your name on the list on the hall table.
Thank you very much, Mr. Jervis, for your kind words of welcome. And again, it is a joy and a privilege to be here, and certainly we enjoyed the Lord's help this morning, and we trust that God will help us tonight, and it's good to see you. And we thank you for coming out to the meeting tonight. Let's just take a moment to still our hearts before the Lord in prayer and commit our way unto him. Our God and our Heavenly Father, we bow humbly and reverently again this evening hour in our Saviour's precious and his worthy name. We thank the dear Heavenly Father for the access into thy courts above through the merits and the value of his precious redemptive blood and his imputed righteousness. We thank the dear Heavenly Father that we come through our great High Priest, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that we have a great High Priest who has ascended into the heavens, who ever lives to intercede for his people and has gone to prepare a place for his people. We thank the dear Heavenly Father that he's coming back again. And Lord, we look forward to that day when we will see thee face to face. But Lord, even while we still are in this world, we do pray and ask for thy help and for thy grace, not only for every day, but Lord, for every moment. For Lord, we need thee every moment of every hour of every day. Lord, we need thee in this meeting tonight. We pray and ask for thy Holy Spirit to be outpoured upon us, Lord, that our hearts will be touched and strengthened and warmed. That Lord, thou will bless us in thy presence tonight. For it is in our Saviour's precious and our Saviour's worthy name we do ask. And we do pray all of these things. Amen. Amen. Our opening hymn tonight is the words of 310. 310, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. We'll stand and sing it together to the Lord's praise. Hymn, I'm sure, no strange to all of you. I'm sure you know it all very well. So let's sing it out to the Lord's praise. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it.
Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child that forever
Amen. Well, we're turning to the book of Isaiah for our first Bible reading tonight, Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, and we will read together the first 7 verses. Isaiah chapter 9, commencing at the opening verse, let us hear the word of the Lord. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation, and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Amen. May the Lord bless this first reading from his precious word to our hearts tonight for his own namesake and his glory. Amen. Well, let us again come before the Lord and seek him at the throne of grace and prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we humbly come into thy presence again, and we thank you that we come to the one who is the Wonderful, the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And Lord, what a privilege it is for us to come into thy presence. Even Lord, as we were thinking this morning of having that fear of the Lord and fear for the Lord, to give thee that awe and that reverence, O God, which is due to thy great and wonderful name. Because, O God, of who thou art, and Lord, what thou hast done for us. We thank thee for bringing us to the meeting tonight. We thank thee, Lord, for gifting us with health and strength and journeying mercies upon the roads. We thank thee, Lord, for those who watch in through the means of the internet broadcast, and we do pray that everyone under the sound of the word of God tonight would be blessed, and that, Lord, they would know a real sense of thy presence, Lord, not just in this meeting house, but, Lord, wherever our online viewers are tuning or listening in from. O Father in heaven, we thank thee for the means of the internet to get the word of God out into the district and the community and even to the wide world around about us. O Lord, we do pray for the people of this community, Lord, many of whom I'm sure know about this place of worship, but Lord, have no interest to come. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that this congregation would know, and coming days and weeks and months, Lord, a move of the Spirit of God, whereby, Lord, we would see not just the young, but the older coming in to hear the word of God, to hear words whereby they can be saved. Lord, no matter what their background, Lord, no matter what sins they have committed, Lord, we do pray for the people of this community. Lord, a people I am sure that have received invitations to meetings here and gospel literature, Lord. And, O Heavenly Father, we pray that Thy Holy Spirit would take of these means to speak to their hearts and to do a work of grace whereby, O God, that they would be saved and to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and their personal Saviour as well. O our Heavenly Father, we pray tonight for those who need that touch from Thee. And Lord, as we even omitted to mention this morning, we lift up to Thee tonight our royal family, Lord. We think of our monarch, King Charles III, and think of his daughter-in-law, Princess Catherine, at this time. And Lord, both stricken with this disease of cancer. And O God, we pray that as this family goes through the waters and the valley, Lord, of the valley experience, we pray that, Lord, they would be seeking the face of God for their help and for their strength. O God, we do pray that even through this very difficult and trying time, that, Lord, Thou would speak to their hearts. Not only that, Lord, Thy hand of healing would be upon those who are unwell, but, Lord, that the Spirit of God would be working in the background. And, Lord, we pray that even through this trial, that, Lord, many in that family circle will be brought onto a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We think, Lord, as our King, He is the head of the Church of England, and even, Lord, as the influential role or token role, Lord, in the Church of Scotland. And, Lord, we know that those places are far from perfect, but, Lord, we do pray that even, Lord, that our monarch and his family would know the grace of God in salvation. We do pray that Thy hand of healing would be upon His Majesty and Her Highness, Lord, tonight, Lord, that they would know healing from the hand of the Lord, the great physician. And, Lord, that the nation would be praying for these folk, Lord. And, Lord, they're no different to any one of us, Lord, because, Lord, they are human beings like us who go through trials and difficulties in family life and difficulties in regards to health and strength, Lord, and we do pray for them tonight. Again, Lord, we remember the needs of this congregation, those who are unwell, those that mourn. We think of the needs of an under-shepherd, O God. We pray for this congregation. We do thank Thee for the labours of the Reverend Leckie in the session here. And we do pray that Thou wilt give them wisdom, Lord, and give them unity, Lord, amongst them, Lord, and the committee and the congregation, Lord. Encourage their hearts, I pray, O God, and strengthen them. And may the year of 2024 be a year of great blessing for this congregation. Lord, when Thou wilt answer prayer, not just for a pastor, but, Lord, for more people coming in and, Lord, people being saved. That is our heart's desire. That is our prayer to Thee, O God, for this people, that souls would be saved, the backsliders would be restored unto their first love. Father in heaven, we pray for our missionaries tonight, and we thank Thee for each and every one of them. We even think of the one who will come on Thursday in Thy will to bring a deputation report. Bless our brother Glenn Hamilton and his wife and family as they make preparations to go to Kenya. Even remember the Macaulay family, Lord, as they would prepare to go to Uganda. And even remember, Lord, our sister Elizabeth Edwards, who's presently out in Kenya at this time. And even bless her as she would return home and conduct deputation meetings for Kenya. Lord, we do thank Thee for these individuals and families, and we pray that Thou would raise up more, as was prayed in our prayer meeting, Lord, earlier before the meeting. Lord, we pray for more young men to be called into the college to train for the ministry, and men and women for the mission field as well. We pray for the Whitfield College, Lord. We pray that Thou would increase, Lord, the numbers there. And Lord, we know that there are many vacancies across our denomination, and Lord, many more vacancies to come in the years that lie ahead. And we pray that we would know, Lord, Thee moving in the hearts of men and calling the right men to train and the right women to train for the mission field. O God, we need the right people, Lord, to come and to train and to be placed in these works, Lord, for the glory and honour of Thy name. Lord, we look to Thee because, Lord, in and of ourselves we are powerless, we are hopeless, and we can do nothing. But we thank Thee that we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. We thank Thee, Lord, that there's nothing impossible or too hard for God, because with God all things are possible. Father in heaven, we pray for our land, and we pray for a land which is given over to sin and a land which has abandoned biblical principles and, Lord, seeking to go the way of sin. Lord, we pray that, Lord, in wrath, Lord, Thou wilt remember mercy, and, O God, that Thou wilt open the windows of heaven and pour us out blessing that we would not have room to contain it. Oh God, stop this land from going down further and further the road to hell. But Lord, turn it about, Lord, and may it be a land which will once again seek the Lord, a land which will repent of its sin and cry out unto God for mercy and for salvation. O God, we do pray this not only for our own province, but for the south of Ireland, Lord, and right across to the mainland, Lord, and the Isle of Man, Lord. We do pray that thou will bless those faithful witnesses across there, Lord. Bless those fledgling works, those works that are small and struggling. Lord, encourage them, Lord, tonight, we pray. Bless them and answer their prayers, Lord. And do them good tonight, Lord, I pray, for the glory and honour of thy name. O God, we do pray that thou will continue with us in this service of worship. Cleanse us afresh in the precious blood and forgive us of our many sins, we pray. For it is in our Saviour's precious and our Saviour's worthy name we ask and we pray all of these things. Amen. Amen. We're turning to hymn 275 for our next item of praise. Oh, what a Saviour that he died for me. From condemnation he hath made me free. He that believeth on the Son, saith he, hath everlasting life. And praise God, Christian, tonight we have everlasting life because we're believing on the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand and sing it to the Lord's praise, hymn 275. Amen. Well, our second Bible reading tonight is found from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, and we will commence reading at the verse 9 and read down to verse number 25. Hebrews chapter 7, commencing at verse number 9. Let us hear the word of God. "And as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek, and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, The Lord swear, and will not repent, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So by much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for him," or for them. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word to your hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Well, we'll have our offering hymn now, and our offering hymn is 290. 290, Come Visit. Come with me, visit Calvary, where our Redeemer died. His blood it fills the fountain, 'tis full, 'tis deep, 'tis wide. Again, we'll remain seated while our tithes and offerings for God's work are received. Let us sing together the words of 290, found on page 293 of our hymn books.
Thank you.
Come for the last verse, please. Praise his name to the uttermost. He does save. Not only does he save, but he keeps and he satisfies as well. Let us bow in prayer before we come to the message and pray that God would help us and bless us and speak to us now through his word. Loving Father and eternal God, we bless thee for the words of Holy Scripture that we have been singing through this hymn tonight, that to the uttermost, the Lord Jesus Christ, he saves. We thank thee for a Saviour who is able to save the vilest of sinners, not only to save them, but to transform their lives and to give them joy and peace and lasting joy, which is found in him and in him alone. O God, our Heavenly Father, we do ask and pray for thy help again as we would come to thy precious word, Lord, the very central light of our worship service here tonight. And we pray that, Lord, thou wilt increase, and that I, the preacher, and man would decrease, that in all things the glory, the honour, and all the preeminence will be given to Christ and to Christ alone. For it is in our Saviour's precious and our Saviour's worthy name, O Heavenly Father, we do ask and we pray all of these things. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm sure there's no surprise to you tonight from the singing of that hymn, of the verse I want to turn your attention to from our Bible reading tonight in Hebrews chapter 7. And there it says of the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, in the verse number 25 of Hebrews chapter 7, wherefore he is able to also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Something which I am sure every one of you would agree with me on tonight is there's nothing as satisfying as a job that is finished, a job that is completed, because whatever the task may be, and we know that it's finished and we don't have to do anything more to it or add to it or take anything away from it, we get a great sense of satisfaction knowing that the task or the thing that we had to do is completed, it's finished. Now, no matter what that may be, whether it's the farmer who has successfully got all of their crops in before the rain, oh, that would have been pretty hard this past year with all the rain that we've had and rain which we continue to have. I think the challenge this year will be try to get the crops in, but we trust that God will send us the dry weather again. Or perhaps the lady who has all her tasks finished around the home, or the person in the business, all the bills paid and all the different jobs attended to. Or perhaps it's the student attending to examinations or assignments and all of those things. And I know being a student in the Whitfield College not that long ago, whenever you got the exams over, there was a great sense of relief and joy whenever those things were behind us. And of course, it's good to take joy and to find satisfaction in these things, in whatever the task may be. But I want us to think tonight for a few moments about a different task, and in spiritual terms, the most important task, the most important thing which had to be completed in this scene of time. And that, of course, is salvation. We have read tonight in Hebrews chapter 7 of the one who is able to save to the uttermost, them that come unto God by him. Of course, we know that he said in those very famous words to Thomas in John chapter 14 in the verse 6, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the only Savior. We have no other message tonight but Christ and Christ alone. So as we think of this complete salvation tonight, and that's the theme I want to think with you in my message tonight, a complete salvation. And firstly, I want us to think together of the person who saves. Of course, it is the Savior himself, the one who is identified here as our great high priest. Of course, the book of Hebrews deals with the perfection of Christ over the earthly priests and over the role of angels as well. He is our great high priest, the one who is our representative before Almighty God, representing his people before the Father's face. He is the one who saves. Now, if you look with me to verse 25 of Hebrews 7 again, notice there that first word that appears in that verse is the word wherefore. Now, we could ask the question, well, what's it there for? What's the significance of that word? Well, of course, the writer to the Hebrews, whom we believe to be the Apostle Paul, he's continuing on the train of thought which he already has laid out in this chapter of the Word of God. He is speaking of the person who saves, and it is upon this statement of the unchangeable priesthood of our Savior. Notice with me in verse 24, it says, but this man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Of course, the apostle could be referring to none other person but the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is our great high priest. He is the only redeemer of God's elect people. And he came with that task of accomplishing redemption at Calvary. And praise God, we know that he cried from the cross, as recorded for us in John chapter 19 and the verse 30. It is finished. In one word, or in the Greek, that is one word, tetelestai, meaning paid in full, finished, completed. And the Lord Jesus Christ came and he went the whole way to the cross, and there he was crucified for the sins of his people, and there he hung in that cursed death of the cross for you and for me to finish the work. That's why we repudiate the Roman Mass tonight, because it's a blasphemy to the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because the priest believes, the Roman Catholic priest, of course, I'm speaking about, he believes that he can bring the Savior down from heaven and crucify him again, and by the individual taking that wafer upon their lips, that they are taking Christ into their body. And that is heresy, that is blasphemy. Because when our Savior cried from the cross, it is finished. It was finished. And we rest upon what he has said in his word. And that signifies to you and to me that his work of redemption was completed. It was paid in full. Because he is the only person who can and who has come to save sinners. In this chapter of the Word of God, reference is made to his priestly work. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is not just our great high priest, but he is also the prophet. And he is the king. He is the only king and head of his church. Of course, I mean the global body of believers whom he has purchased with his precious blood. That bride, as the scripture refers to as well, is of which you and I, as believers tonight, are a part of. And it's not Justin Welby who's the head of the church. It's not the Pope of Rome, but it is Jesus Christ who is the head of the church tonight. But in thinking of the role of the Savior as our great high priest, you know, there was only one individual in the Old Testament times who was the great high priest, signifying that there was only one person who could go into the very holy of holies of the tabernacle on the Day of Atonement, that one day of the year, and to offer up the blood sacrifice upon the mercy seat, which was above the Ark of the Covenant. And whenever that blood was applied and upon the mercy seat, that was when the presence of the Lord came down, the Shekinah glory, and God met with his people. And there was none other who was able and willing to go in to the very holy of holies, who was able to not only be the offering, but the one making the offering as well. You see, Christ was not just the sacrifice, but he was the one offering that sacrifice on our behalf. And it was through the merits and the value of his blood that we can come into God's presence and God meets with his people. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, his priesthood was not from the tribe of Levi. In the Old Testament times, it was from the tribe of Levi that the priests would have come from to minister in the tabernacle and in the temple. But the Lord Jesus Christ, his priesthood was not after the tribe of Levi. And that speaks to me and to you tonight that his priesthood was unique. It was special. We have read of an individual here called Melchizedek. Now, of course, Melchizedek, there were differing views between godly men as to whether he was the Lord Jesus Christ in another form or whether it was an angel. And that's not my message tonight. But what we learn of Melchizedek in the Bible is that his priesthood was totally unique as well. His priesthood was not after the tribe of Levi. And so we can picture him as being a pointer to the Lord Jesus Christ. That Christ's priesthood was unique, it was not after men. And whenever Melchizedek appeared to Joshua and to Moses in the Old Testament, those two men bowed down before Melchizedek and paid tithes to Melchizedek, signifying that he was a unique person indeed. Of course, you and I as believers, we bring our tithes and offerings to the Saviour. That'll be used for his work, for the extension of his kingdom, for the glory and honour of his name. And of course, the high priest, he was continually serving in the temple. And his work was never done. But the Saviour's work was completed. The Saviour's work was done. And he, after he was buried and rose again and he ascended up on high, he sat down at the Father's right hand. Why? Because his work was finished. Yes, we know that he ever lives to intercede for us as our great high priest. But his work of redemption was completed. And we join in that finished work tonight. And we seek to point you tonight, if you're in the meeting tonight or watching online and you're not saved, that you need to trust upon the finished work of Jesus Christ. Because there's no other way that you can be saved. There's no other way for I to have been saved or any one of us as believers here tonight. There's no other way for a sinner to be saved. And while the earthly priesthood of those men would finish at their death, yet our Saviour's priesthood is never finished. He will always be the great high priest of his people. Because as the Bible tells us, and as we have read, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. You see, our Saviour, he came and he died once upon the cross. And he rose again, never to go to Calvary again. Never to have to suffer and to bleed and to die and to pay for our sins through the shedding of his precious blood. Why? Because the first time he came, and when he went to the cross, that was sufficient for all of our sins. The sins of the people of the Old Testament and for us of the New Testament era. Those of us Gentiles who have been brought onto a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We who have been grafted into the family and the fold of God through what Christ has done for us. And we can rejoice in that. We can join in that tonight. That we don't need to come to an earthly priest to offer up a sacrifice for us to try and earn penance or to earn favour with God or for our sins to be atoned for. All we have to do is to come to our great high priest, Jesus Christ. We don't need to go to a confession box and confess our sins. We simply come to our great high priest. Because man cannot forgive sins. But Jesus Christ, he is the only one who can forgive sins. Of course, whenever the Saviour declared that, that enraged the Pharisees. Who can forgive sins but God, they cried. Yet they failed to realize that the very one in their presence was God manifested in the flesh. The one who had the power to forgive sins and the one who had the ability to forgive sins. And if those wicked men had cried out unto him for salvation, asked him for forgiveness, he would have forgiven them. And if they had put their trust and their belief in him, they would have been saved. Yet how hard their hearts were, that they would not repent, that they would not trust in the Son of God, even though they had witnessed many mighty miracles that he performed, heard him preaching powerful sermons, but yet their hearts remained hardened to the Savior. Also, whenever the earthly priests turned 50, they had to serve in a different capacity. Again, speaking of the fact that their priesthood was not forever. It was only for a short time. We could think of the, in regards to an earthly minister or a pastor, how that whom the Lord raises up, he's only a minister for a short time. And then ill health takes hold, or perhaps the Lord calls his servant home through death. And yet we need to keep praying and trusting God for the raising up of more men. Hence we prayed for that earlier. For the raising up of others to come and to train and to be called of God to preach his word. See, there always will be the need for men in the ministry of the things of God. And what are those men's roles to do? Simply to point to Jesus Christ. And any individual who stands behind the pulpit and does not point his hearers to the Lord Jesus Christ, well, they're failing. They're not doing their duty. And I have that solemn responsibility to do that, because one day I will give an account for my service. And I would say to you tonight, if you're not saved, whether in the meeting house or watching online, you need to be saved. You need to be ready to meet God. You need to come as a sinner and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the person who has came to save. We point you to none other but to the one who has come, to the one who finished his work of redemption upon the cross. So we thought firstly there about the person who came to save. Secondly, notice with me the people who are saved. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. You know, the great high priest, he was an intercessor for the people. The people would have came to the priest and asked him to pray for them. After offering up the sacrifice for their sins, the priest was to pray for the people. And certainly, we have that responsibility as well to pray for all of the needs of the congregation, the sick, the sorrowing, the young, the old. Pray for those to go on with God, to be encouraged. Lift up the downtrodden, lift up the those who are feeling down and discouraged, to take each and every one of us on with the Saviour. We're to pray for those who are saved, that they will continue on with God. To pray for those who are not saved, that the Lord would save them. To pray for those who are far from God tonight, that they would get back to their first love. No, not only did he pray for them as their priest, but he supplicated the throne of grace. And who else would do that but a mediator? And of course, the sinner needs a mediator. You and I, we need a mediator between God. One who would represent Almighty God, who is sinless and perfect, but also one who would represent fallen man. And of course, that points us again to Jesus Christ. As Paul wrote to Timothy, saying, "For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." We think of all the conflicts that are going on in our world tonight, and how there are those attempts for peace talks and ceasing of hostilities. Well, of course, a mediator needs to go in. Somebody who can represent both parties and seek to broker a peace treaty so that those hostilities would cease. And of course, the sinner needs a mediator between God, whom they have offended by their sins and cannot come to God by their own selves. But thankfully, they can come through the mediator. And sinner, you can come tonight through the only mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom the Father delights, in whom he has sent to be the mediator, to be our Redeemer, to be our great High Priest. And oh, that you must come and look to him tonight and to trust in him. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 106, verse 8, "Nevertheless, he saved them for his own name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known." You see, God has saved you and I, believer, to display what God is able to do in a life. No matter where you were, down in the depths, sinking in the miry clay, yet the Lord saved each and every one of us, lifted us up out of the miry clay, and he set our feet upon the rock, Christ Jesus, establishing each and every one of our goings. And what the Lord has done for me, the Lord is able to do for you tonight. If you're not saved, or if you're backslidden, he's able to restore unto you the years the locusts have eaten. He's able to give you that peace and that joy which perhaps you've lost from wandering away from God. Oh, he's mighty. He's a mighty Savior. And he came to save a people. He came not to just accomplish redemption and for nobody to be saved, but oh, he came with a purpose. He came to save a people. You see, the Father had given unto him a people in eternity past, John chapter 6. And Jesus said there, "All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out." What an invitation that is for you tonight, sinner, if you haven't already come. Oh, to come to him tonight, because his arms are open, and he's able and he's willing to save you. He's willing to save all that come unto God by him, as we've read in Hebrews 7 tonight. He come to save and to seek that which was lost, because he's the Savior. There's no one else. There's no other way. As we have emphasized already in our message tonight, John the Baptist, he was not the Savior, but he was a forerunner. As Isaiah prophesied of John, the one who would come to be the forerunner, to be the declarer of the Lord. And what did John say whenever he seen the Savior? He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Oh, that you would tonight, sinner, behold the Lamb of God through the eye of faith. The Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world, able to deal with your sin. All of those sins that you've committed, all those sins which trouble you, all those sins which only perhaps God knows about, all those sins which one day will be accounted for. But if you're trusting in Jesus Christ, all your iniquities, all of your sins can be forgotten about by the Lord. They can be cast into the sea of his forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us anymore. Why? Because such is the power and the cleansing ability of the blood of Christ. All of our sins, in thought, word, and deed, past, present, and even the future, the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you and me from all of our sins. And that whenever we one day will stand before God, God will look upon us as his people and see the righteousness of his Son. And for the righteousness of Christ, we will be able to enter into heaven, because God has declared us to be just, to be right in his sight, all because of Christ and his sacrifice at the cross. You see, Christ, he came to save to the uttermost. And we've sang about that in our hymn earlier on there. And that word uttermost, it only occurs twice in the New Testament. And it means to be saved completely, to be saved entirely. Not only is he able to save us entirely, but he's able to keep us entirely. Oh, salvation is not about us getting saved and then trying to keep it ourselves, because we couldn't. But he came to save us and to keep us. Keep us by the power of his Holy Spirit. Oh yes, we have the responsibility to spend that time with him in prayer and to grow by reading the Bible and coming to the house of God and the public means of worship and grace, and also to have fellowship one with another. That's our responsibility. But it's his responsibility to keep us, because those whom he saves, they will never be lost. I know Peter, for a period, walked afar off from the Lord. But thank God the Lord restored Peter back to that place of fellowship where he ought to have been the whole time. And that's what the Lord is able to do for you, if that is you tonight. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 13, verse 11, "And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift herself up." Now, as I said, this word uttermost, it only occurs twice in the New Testament, and this is the other place, because that word wise there, it is translated from the same word in the Greek, whereby we have the word uttermost here. Of course, that lady who was crippled, she could in no wise heal herself. She had sought to get help from others, but no one else could help her. She was wrecked with pain and with that infirmity, but you know, whenever the Savior touched her, she was healed completely, entirely. In other words, there was no more of that infirmity left in her body. And what a picture that is of what Christ is able to do for the sinner, to save them completely, to deliver them from sin, from the addiction to sin. And of course, none of us can overcome the addiction to sin, no matter what that sin may be, but Christ is able to, because he is able to save. He is able to deliver them to the uttermost, completely, entirely, and wholly, because he's God. And certainly that ought to dispel the notion that we can be saved and lost. Because those whom God saves through his Son Jesus Christ are saved for time, and praise his name for all eternity as well. So Christian, rejoice in that tonight. Don't depend upon your feelings, but depend and look and trust on what Jesus Christ has done for you. Because that is our only hope. That is our only foundation for our salvation. It's not based upon our feelings, but it's based upon his finished work as our Savior and as our Redeemer. And then lastly, we have here not only the person who saves, the people who were saved, but also the praying for the saved. The last words of verse 25 of Hebrews 7 says, "Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ came not just to lay down his life a ransom for us, to be that sacrifice to satisfy divine justice and to have the wrath of God expelled upon him or exhausted upon him, but he came to pray. He came to intercede. And what a thought that is, that we have one in heaven tonight praying for us. Think of what the Lord Jesus Christ said to Peter, how that the devil desired to sift him, to sift them as the disciples, collectively speaking. But then the Saviour told Peter, "But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not." And yes, while the Saviour had been praying for all of the disciples, but in that specific moment he was praying specifically for Peter. And what a picture that is of the great high priestly prayers of our Saviour. Yes, he came to offer up that atoning sacrifice to pay and to cover for our sins, but he came to pray, and that's what he does today. He intercedes for us. And of course, the Holy Spirit intercedes as well with groanings which cannot be uttered. And that's what we have in Jesus Christ, brethren and sisters, tonight. Sinner, that's what you can have tonight. One praying for you at the Father's right hand, that your faith will fail not, that you will be strengthened in the inner man or the inner woman, given the grace to keep going on in this Christian life. And of course, we all need that, don't we? And while it's very important that we all pray for one another, how encouraging it is that we have one in the glory praying for us, our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. John Gill, the commentator, said of this, he said, "By the appearance of his person for them, by the presentation of his sacrifice, his blood and his righteousness, by declaring his will, that such and such blessings be bestowed on us and such persons, and by recommending the prayers of his people, and by removing the charges and accusations of Satan." Of course, the devil would love to trip us up whenever we sin. But what we need to do is simply to repent and to trust in the cleansing power of the blood of Christ and to keep going on, to keep going on with God, and not to get down and to get bogged down in our own inabilities. Of course, we're unable. We cannot keep ourselves. We cannot do anything without the Lord. But that is why it ought to drive us to our knees in prayer, and that our dependability is upon the Lord and not upon ourselves. What does the Lord Jesus Christ pray for? Just turn with me to one more verse. John chapter 17. Of course, whenever we've been thinking about the Saviour as our great high priest, it would be remiss not to turn to his great high priestly prayer in John chapter 17. John chapter 17, and let us read verse number 6. Of course, whenever the Saviour was praying to his heavenly Father, he said in John 17 verse 6, "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word." Then look down to verse number 9. "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are mine." And you know what Jesus prays? He prays for us that we will be kept from the evil of this world. That's what he said later on in that great high priestly prayer. And what a Saviour we have tonight. What a great high priest we have tonight. One who has finished his work because his work was finished. He accomplished redemption. And praise God, what he has accomplished, the Holy Spirit is continuing to apply effectually into the hearts and minds of sinners today. And he will continue to do that until the end of the age, when every sinner will be gathered in whom the Lord has purposed to save. So let us keep going. Let us keep evangelizing. Let us keep praying. Let us keep believing. And let us keep resting and trusting in the person who saves, because we are the people who are saved. And let us be encouraged by the fact that he's praying for us. He's praying for the saved. Oh, sinner friend, tonight, do you not want such a hope? Do you not want to have such one at the Father's right hand praying for you, interceding for you? Because he neither slumbers nor sleeps. And we can come to him at any hour of the day or night and seek his face. What a Saviour. What a great high priest we have tonight. And may God bless his word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Let us just close our meeting in prayer. And we thank you for your attention tonight. O God, our Heavenly Father, we bless thee for our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. And Lord, we praise thee that he ever liveth to make intercession for us as well. Lord, write thy word upon our hearts tonight, and be with us now as we go our separate ways. And may we know thy presence not only throughout the rest of this evening, but throughout the rest of this week. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain upon each and every one of us until Jesus calls or comes again. For it is in his precious name we do ask and we pray all these things. Amen. Amen.